I bought my first house in a government auction. I'd moved to Seattle and Gomorrah to reconnect with my wife at the time after a summer's hiatus from each other, who'd connected instead with a new boyfriend who she lived with while I lived with a house full of university students who mostly majored in drugs. My wife and her beau were intent on making a fortune in real estate, so they'd gotten licenses and were working as realtors. Don't ask me why, but my missus, let's call her Alice, decided we should buy a house together, live in it long enough to defer capital gains, then sell it for the profit and repeat the above until we were rich. My roommates were people who stole my food and beer, never washed a dish until there were none clean, and then only the dish they would use. I was ready for a new place to live, and a house of my own looked more than okay. Not having much money and virtually no sources of income, the pickings were poor. But Alice found a HUD house for sale down in the ghetto, a large two-story house with no distinctive features other than a hardwood floor that had been rehabbed top to bottom and was offered up for bid at a minimum price of $18,000. We bid $24,000 and won, according to our realtor who specialized in HUD houses, by a few bucks and some change. A mortgage company his real estate office must have owned gave us a loan, and we became homeowners for the first time. Alice stayed with her boyfriend business partner, and I rented rooms to friends and weirdos and psychopaths at $50 a month. It paid the mortgage of $180 a month, and it kept life interesting at a time of my life that welcomed demented and derelict diversion beyond the dreary bottom-feeding neighbors that surrounded me and my introduction to true urban depravity. Life, I thought, certainly can take some odd turns. I looked at myself as a character in the modern novel I planned to pen, no doubt a tragedy, but hey, an interesting one. The house, I gradually realized, tied me to my wrecked marriage, to a city on the skids, to my own broken dreams, to a real estate fantasy I wanted no part of, and on through chapter after chapter. I could see a bad ending coming. I could even see myself taking the ride down, accepting my fate as some kind of Lord Jim contrition, blaming myself, becoming bitter and no wiser. Might be a good book, but hell, it didn't look like a good life. Maybe the squalor and the crime and the low-life neighbors were the rewards for a life of laziness and dreamy inattention. Maybe I was in some subliminal atonement for my own failings. Maybe this was just desserts. But I'm not much for martyrdom. I'm not much for contrition either, it turns out. I guess, thinking myself a writer by inclination, I decided to write a happier ending, even if it made for a second-rate novel. I've heard it said that happiness is overvalued, but I've never heard it from those folks who are happy. And you won't hear it from me. Life isn't a novel, and us would-be writers would be wise to remember that.